Welcome in, everyone, to the 77th episode of the Deep Dive Dynasty Podcast. We, as always, are your hosts, Toby and Colin. Toby, how was week four for you?
You know what, for fantasy, it's fantastic.
Yeah, you do better than me this week. This week, we're going to be talking about players that you can buy right now for relatively cheap that have potential to help you win a championship 10-plus weeks from now. And so we've created a list here. We're going to go through players position by position, and we're going to discuss, you know, why they're cheaper, mostly because they haven't been performing as expected, and also talk about their playoff schedule and why they have potential to be a lot more valuable by the end of the season than they are right now. As always, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Deep Dive Dynasty, and if any of you are not going to listen to each and every person on this list, make sure you skip to the end of the episode because we do have an announcement about the future of this show, and we're going to close the episode with that. But first, Toby, let's get into this list, and we're going to start with a couple of running backs. And the first one is Chris Carson. So Chris Carson, after 4 weeks, is the running back 23, and his snap count has gone down and down. He started at 78, then went to 63, and in the last couple weeks, he's in the 40s. And he capped this off with a week 4 performance of only 4.1 fantasy points. So the trend is going downwards for him. It's definitely not looking great. Alex Collins, I think, outperformed him in that past game. And my main reasoning for why I think Chris Carson is going to turn this season around is because I think it's been very underreported the fact that he's dealing with some injuries right now. We've seen him a couple games ago when his snap count really dropped off a cliff. He limped off the field at one point, and it actually looked like it was going to be a bigger injury. It was obviously nervous, like, oh, he's not going to come back. And then he did, and he kept playing in that game just a lesser amount, and it never really got reported on because he obviously didn't miss any time. But I do think he is still the starter for this very solid offense, and he's likely to turn the snap count around, go back to what we expected before the season from Chris Carson. He's not a bell cow type. He's still going to have a relevant backup, but I think he will be very solid down the line. And then his playoff matchups, he plays the Rams and Chicago, which are not the best matchups. It could be somewhat of a shootout with the Rams, but they're not the easiest to run on. And then Chicago has a stout defense as well. But if you make it through those two games, championship weekend, you do have Detroit, which I think is his moment to absolutely explode and could easily be winning you a championship that week. What do you think about buying Chris Carson in Dynasty right now?
Chris Carson is a super good buy. His snap counts are going down, as you say. Yep, I think it is largely situational. And he's still going to be the lead back for Seattle moving forwards. It's still going to happen. Seattle looks good. And Russell Wilson opening things up with the passing game allows Chris Carson to go in and not be a bell cow and still be used effectively. He's going to be super cheap right now because people are worried about him. That's fine, but I'm definitely on board with buying him.
Yeah, I think he will only do better than he has, especially this past week. I'd love to buy if anyone was panic selling. The only other running back we have in this list is Miles Sanders. And Miles Sanders, to me, feels even a bit sketchier than Chris Carson right now.
Miles Sanders is currently the running back 33 overall, and he's just put up 3 performances under 10 fantasy points. So people are rightfully nervous.
And let's be real, a significant factor that has come into play and will continue to is that Kenny Gainwell is a very relevant part of this offense, has outperformed Miles Sanders a couple of the weeks this season, but I do think that Miles Sanders will continue to be the team's starter, and a lot of the time we're just reacting to these points and not necessarily what we see on the field. The Eagles, they have had to throw a lot by the end of these games. They haven't been, you know, running out the clock with Sanders, and that's a role you definitely would expect Sanders to have in this offense. And sure, you could argue that, you know, that's going to be the norm for the Eagles, but it's still going to happen sometimes that he's going to get a lot more run than he has, especially the last 2 weeks where he's had so few carries. Another huge factor, though, is he has 0 touchdowns so far this year. That's simply not going
positive
to sustain.
Regression.
Exactly. And in those final playoff weeks in fantasy, after a very odd week 14 bye, that just looks wrong to me still. Washington, Giants, Washington. And you may look at the Washington defense and think, okay, that is a pretty good run defense. You know, last year the defensive line looked great, but actually they don't look that fantastic this season. They're playing nothing like they did last season, and these are 2 games, or I guess 3 games, but 2 teams where positive game scripts absolutely could happen. I think the Eagles are likely going to be better than the Giants, and I think probably better than Washington football team by the end of the season as well. So I do think he is a great buy now. I'm sure people are nervous about him. Also, he's a lot younger than Carson, so he's just a better long-term dynasty asset anyway. I do think Gainwell will be the number two guy, but he's still going to be in that 40% of the backfield, and Miles Sanders will still have the majority share there. Now let's move over to a much larger list of wide receivers, and the first one I have written here is Allen Robinson.
A-Rob.
Yeah, so A-Rob has done very poorly, and there's a lot of reasons that can very easily come to mind as why he could be a dynasty buy just in terms of like future years, but I also think that Allen Robinson can be a good asset this season, especially by the end of the season as this offense figures itself out a little bit more. Who knows, maybe they have a different coach, it's possible. And regardless of whether it is Andy Dalton or Justin Fields by the end of the season, I think he will be that number one target. Even though, to this point, he's been outproduced by Darnell Mooney, which is an absolute shock. Through 4 weeks, he is the wide receiver 60. That is very rough. And
obviously not returning on draft capital right now.
Not even close. And if that is with just kind of dud performance after dud performance. His best game so far was the only one he had a touchdown in, and in that game he had went 2 for 24. So he's been significantly disappointing every game he's been in. But looking at that end of the year schedule, we've already talked about, I do expect this offense to figure themselves out a little bit more. In the shorter term as well, the fact that they are now missing Montgomery for the next few weeks, it may force them to pass a little bit more, give him higher volume, but looking at those matchups, week 15, you have Minnesota, terrible passing defense, as is Seattle in week 16. And then the Giants, you have James Bradbury, who's decent there, but there still are receivers putting up points against the Giants. So I do think all three of those matchups are a great opportunity for Allen Robinson to have a big end to the season. And I'm just going to believe in the talent. And, you know, if you are buying him in Dynasty, as we've already talked about in previous episodes, there is the upside as well that he could be on a different team next season, or the team that he's already on could just be much improved around him. So I do like him right now. It's just buying low, because this probably is the lowest you're ever going to be able to buy A-Rob.
He still is the alpha wide receiver on this offense. I know he's getting outproduced right now, but there's also a huge transitional period undergoing right now in Chicago. You gotta let things balance out a little bit. His talent is gonna win over. And is he gonna be the A-Rob of old? Maybe not, but he's still gonna be much, much, much better than wide receiver 60 come the end of the year.
Definitely agree there. The second wide receiver is Jarvis Landry, and this is a pretty simple case to make. The fact that he is injured on IR right now is going to slightly lower his value in the current moment, and without that, he was already undervalued as it was. I expect that Jarvis Landry will come back and go right back into having his safe target share. I think Baker definitely misses him. Having that really reliable underneath target is such an important part of this offense that as soon as he comes back, I think you can rely on him in those PPR leagues to be one of those secure wide receivers for your team. So he just is a sensible buy for me. The only full game he's played, he did well. He went 5 for 71, and he also had 2 rushing attempts, one of which he took to the house. So yeah, he's only impressed so far, and his final 3 matchups of the year, you've got Vegas, a terrible passing defense. You've got Green Bay Packers, other than Jair Alexander, who will be on Odell Beckham Jr., they're bad passing defense too, so Landry could easily eat there. And then you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we know their secondary is nothing to admire either. So I do like the end of the season for Landry, and he's someone I'm definitely happy to go grab right now. Another person who's injured right now, total upside play. The next guy on the list is Will Fuller.
Poor Will Fuller and his litany of injuries.
That is true.
You know, you saw him go down with the lower body injury. You weren't exactly sure what. He now has, I believe, a broken finger.
Yeah, it's a finger. Probably won't be out that long, but, you know, he wasn't put on IR, but it's going to be a couple weeks.
But if you're targeting Will Fuller, you're targeting someone who should be extremely cheap. And hopefully you can capitalize off the fear and potentially valid fear of an owner saying, I can't have another injury on my team. I need to make sure all my guys are solid. Take Fuller. He can have solid results, albeit potentially injury-riddled season.
Mm-hmm. We haven't even seen him yet with Tua.
Yeah.
But I still project that once he is back, as long as he's healthy and, you know, he gets some reps, I still think he's going to be the number one target for Tua in this offense. So I have to imagine he's incredibly cheap right now. He was already cheap in the offseason, and he's done nothing but disappoint so far due to a couple of injuries. And even though he only played one healthy game, and, you know, that's quote-unquote healthy because he was returning from injury, he didn't do that well in it. He only had 6 targets, 3 receptions, and 20 yards. I still think he's worth the upside shot based off of how cheap I expect his price to be right now. And then again, we look at these 3 matchups that you've got in the playoffs. You've got the Jets. That's absolutely a plus matchup. You have New Orleans, which is fine. Probably depends who Marshawn Lattimore will be following that game. And then you have the Titans, who they're another one of potentially the worst secondary in the league. So at least 2 out of 3 are amazing matchups, and potentially he could boom for all 3 of those weeks. So considering how cheap you can get him right now, I'm also definitely willing to take that shot on Fuller. And yet another player who right now is injured, but who knows, might even be back this week. It's Sterling Shepard.
Sterling.
And honestly, I feel like Sterling Shepard is the one guy who doesn't really fit in amongst the rest of the group. And that's because, other than the fact that he's injured right now, Sterling Shepard has done nothing but be absolutely incredible this season. We were not projecting him to have such a significant role in this offense, but he has in his 2 healthy games. 9 targets, 7 receptions, 113 yards, and a touchdown. And then week 2, he had 10 targets, 9 receptions, 94 yards. Those are incredible PPR games.
The rapport he has with Danny Dimes, for reasons unbeknownst to me, is working.
Mm-hmm.
It's really working for this offense, and they keep going back to him, or at least they did in the first 2 weeks, as he was balling out.
Yeah, so he's got a hamstring injury right now, and obviously that's not ideal, but I don't expect it to be a very long-term issue. And so far, what we've seen is that he looks like the number one in his offense. And I could see a lot of teams that aren't relying on him or really competing thinking like, okay, this is the highest I'm ever going to be able to sell Shepard. He's impressed so far. Believe that Shepard will continue to be the top target in this offense, because I definitely believe it. So looking at him down the line, I think he is a legit PPR monster. And again, those matchups, you've got Dallas. You can definitely throw on Dallas in those shootout games. You've got Philadelphia. I think he can throw on them too. And then you've got Chicago, which is probably the best defense of the 3. But I really don't fear for Sterling Shepard in those slot matchups against any of those teams. I'm willing to stay in the flames, disregard the injury, and try to buy him right now, because everything he showed me so far is that he's just going to be a locked-in PPR target.
Another guy who's not a locked-in PPR target at the moment, despite many thinking he might be, it's the odd man out in the LA Rams. It's Robert Woods. Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, who were once brothers, in a sense, are now distant relatives, one of them being much wealthier and more successful, Cooper Kupp, and Robert Woods on the outside looking in right now. He has not been involved with the offense in ways we thought he might be, and because of this, he's going to be extremely cheap. To go away entirely from Robert Woods is just to operate with too small a sample size. This happens when you have new quarterbacks. We're only 4 weeks into the season, and I get that it's 4 weeks, but no longer is that a quarter of the season. It's going to be less than a quarter, and Robert Woods is going to be more useful. Teams are going to start to scheme and go, okay, if Cooper Kupp is the guy, then we need to start doubling him. McVay is a smart enough coach, Stafford is an adept enough quarterback, that Woods is going to get the ball. And I understand the quote-unquote emergence of Van Jefferson, but I mean,
he's been good.
Tutu Atwell's not going to do anything.
Nope.
Robert Woods still has a role on this team, and trading for him right now is trading for him while he's a meme of rock bottom. And he should be right now, and I understand that. But you need to gamble on that bounce back, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I will say is, I feel like what Toby's saying right here is how every Robert Woods manager feels right now. It's like, he is atrocious. He's been so bad. He's the wide receiver 40. That's not great.
Better than Allen Robinson.
That's true. And 3 out of 4 games so far, he's above 12 PPR points. That's not awful. He hasn't killed you on those weeks. And I do think this is as low as it's probably going to get for the season, because the Rams offense looks so good. And despite Van Jefferson being better than we would have projected, Robert Woods is still the number 2 target in that incredible offense. So I am absolutely betting on the bounce back. And again, we're going to look at those 3 weeks. Two of those 3 weeks, he's got Seattle, which is going to be a shootout. And then he's got Minnesota, which is going to be a shootout. The third week is Baltimore. That's the hardest defense of the three, but he still has potential to absolutely impress, especially because it will be Marlon Humphrey that is going to be on Cooper Kupp that game. So he is going to be more of the open man. I am absolutely willing to go after Woods, and this is a pure betting on the bounce back because he is simply too talented to not be more relevant in this offense. Also, and I don't like to think about or weigh in coach speak very much, this week Sean McVay talked about the fact that it was his fault and that he needs to get Woods much more involved in this offense. So I think they are looking at this offense thinking, okay, we have this unutilized weapon and we need to utilize him a lot more going forward.
And that just makes sense, man. It's just pragmatic.
100%. One of my favorite targets actually here is Marvin Jones. And Marvin Jones is a little bit older. He's not someone that you're looking at being a very long-term asset. He is absolutely more of that win-now guy. And the most significant piece of news with Marvin Jones is that DJ Chark is out for the season with that broken foot. And Marvin Jones, already the wide receiver 27 to this point, besides one game, has been incredible. In week four, he did disappoint, and oddly, that coincided with DJ Chark going down, but that's just coincidence. He is now the clear top target. Him and Laviska Shenault are going to be the top two, and I think Marvin Jones is that number one for this season. It seems to be Trevor Lawrence's tendency to target him more so than the other receivers. And this is an offense that I do expect will be in a lot of shootouts. They already have been. Marvin Jones is a talented wide receiver, even at 31 years of age. And then in those final 3 weeks, two of the three, again, are great. He's got Houston, he's got the Jets, and then he's got New England, who, sure, not the greatest matchup.
I like Marvin Jones because I think Trevor Lawrence is starting to steady himself in that offense, and he's going to start throwing the ball a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. He's just going to be getting so many targets.
Yeah.
You can't not be targeting wide receivers on teams like that.
Yeah, I just think he's going to be so good that this one down week that he just had against Cincy is your only real buying window if you're truly contending and need him for one of those flex or wide receiver spots on your roster. And then the final wide receiver we have on this list has also been a very large disappointment, and that is Juju Smith-Schuster. So Juju obviously is one of three very good wide receivers in this Pittsburgh offense that looks quite anemic. And mostly that issue comes from Big Ben, who now apparently has an injured hip. I don't know, there's rumors that he might not even be healthy. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? But whether it's Ben or whether it's Mason Rudolph or whether it's Dwayne Haskins, they don't have a good quarterback throwing them the ball. And I expect that Juju Smith-Schuster can still produce to a relative degree despite this. Sure, he is not necessarily my favorite out of this list. Like, I don't think he has the highest ceiling anymore, but he has underperformed to enough of a degree that I just don't think that is going to continue. Through this point in the season, he has 27 targets over the 4 weeks and has only caught 15 of those 27. So he's almost not being able to catch half of his passes. And sure, you can point that on the bad quarterback play, but also he's running a lot more of those underneath routes, and those are going to be the throws that Ben can make a lot more easily. And so I do expect it to turn around, and Juju Smith-Schuster down the line of this season will be better than he already has been. And then also just talking about him as a dynasty buy, he's still 24, and despite the fact that he's saying he's all about Pittsburgh after trying to get a contract elsewhere, I don't think he's probably going to stick around Pittsburgh after this one-year contract. So throw this player on another offense, and he's probably going to be a great dynasty asset for years to come.
I have concerns about Juju. Namely because I have him in a couple of leagues, and it's been very frustrating trying to watch him catch balls as thrown by Ben. They seem to be on a different page that they weren't on, at least these past couple of years. But the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receivers are not what at least I thought they would be in terms of Deontay Johnson has been great, but he's been out with a couple of injuries. Chase Claypool has not had this return to utter dominance that he had in his rookie season. Juju is operating out of the slot and is realistically the only guy that is there. He should be having a return to form as the season progresses. I don't anticipate Pittsburgh getting any worse than they are right now. I certainly hope they won't get any worse than they are right now. And Juju has to start benefiting from this. He's super cheap right now because he's been pretty paltry. He's put up some just shoddy performances that have very much frustrated me. And if I had people trading me for Juju right now, I might sell him for not his actual cost. So I think he is the right type of guy to go target. It's just knowing it's a little bit more of a risk than others.
Yeah, and I think that risk is mostly for this season. Going forward, yeah. I don't think he's a super risky asset. Then let's move on to the quarterback position. And I've got three older quarterbacks that I think, one, haven't been performing to quite what you expected so far, and also definitely could turn their seasons around and be putting up a lot more points as the season progresses. And the first one is Ryan Tannehill. And Ryan Tannehill is actually someone that I feel like perception is a little bit different than reality. Because to this point, Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback 20, which is not great, but each of his four games have not been awful. He hasn't really busted, but he definitely also hasn't had an incredible game yet. All of his games are under 24 fantasy points. However, this offense looks very, very bad, and he is going to be forced to throw a ton. He already has, to a reasonable degree. But actually, for the amount he is passing, he is not seeing a ton of touchdowns at this point. And also, he hasn't been as successful rushing as he has in previous years. And I do expect that to come more somewhere in between how effective he was in previous years and how ineffective he has been so far. And those touchdown numbers to go up and up. Also, of course, in week four, at least, he was missing his top two wide receivers. And you expect that over time, they're going to get healthier. He's going to have better weapons to go to. And also, this is just a bit of a side note, but Derrick Henry has turned into a passing weapon somehow as well at age like 28 or wherever he is now. They finally start passing him the ball. I guess it's that new OC, but he has enough weapons around him and he has enough talent that I absolutely believe in the bounce back. Quarterback 20 doesn't mean he's been awful, but he definitely hasn't met expectations yet. And I expect him to do a lot better for the rest of the season.
The number one reason why I like Ryan Tannehill is because of Derrick Henry. That he has this tiny little X factor that, oh, I'm going to dump the ball off to Derrick Henry with added frequency. Derrick Henry is extremely hard to bring down. Derrick Henry certainly doesn't look any worse this season. And if he's just going, okay, my wide receivers are not operating at the rate that I thought they might be, this is going to help him get at least some points back under his feet. I would not panic about Ryan Tannehill. Trading for a guy you say, oh, he's only the 20th, there's positive regression coming. I feel like it just has to be. Mm-hmm.
Continuing on the Ryan train, we've got Matt Ryan as the second guy up. And honestly, I think this is more of a case of people watching the football games and thinking, oh, the Falcons offense looks terrible. I don't want the quarterback there.
Yeah.
But Matt Ryan isn't playing like Ben Roethlisberger is right now. He actually is playing fairly well. He just, you know, isn't hyper-targeting the guys we wanted to, so we're just disappointed in this offense in general. But he has done fine, and to this point, he is the quarterback 19, so he's actually doing slightly better than Tannehill. Yet I do believe he's kind of been left for dead at this point, and I expect that he can continue the incredible performances like he just did against Washington, where he put up 29 points. I think this can continue. That one factor when we were looking at him as a fantasy asset this offseason was that, well, their defense is probably going to improve a little bit. It didn't at all. They still look atrocious and they're still getting points put up on them by every team they play against. So Matt Ryan is going to continue to be in a shootout every single week. He still has a lot of weapons. Kyle Pitts is obviously going to continue to be better and better. He has his new favorite weapon of Cordarrelle Patterson in the passing game. Apparently. Matt Ryan will be a very solid quarterback, and if he is your quarterback 2 in Superflex, you are doing incredibly at the quarterback position. You can lock him in and be very confident with the points he'll get you down the line.
The Falcons' defense looks very, very bad.
Mm-hmm. They're terrible.
At a rate that I did not expect them to be this poor either. I don't understand why Calvin Ridley has not had the breakout season that we thought he would yet. I have yet to diagnose exactly whether it's he's simply getting too much attention, maybe he's having just a down season, if it's just the offense as a whole. But I don't anticipate them, one, getting worse, or two, just saying, well, what's happening right now is just fine. Like, they're going to have to find other ways to get Ridley the ball. They're going to have to get Pitts involved in other ways. Mm-hmm. I do think Atlanta's going to become a little bit better, and Ryan will profit because of that.
And finally, on the third stop of our Ryan train at quarterback, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. And first I have to say that one of these three is not like the other two, in that Ryan Fitzpatrick, you should not have confidence even close to the confidence you have in those other two quarterbacks, but I expect that you can get Ryan Fitzpatrick for almost nothing right now because Taylor Heinicke is playing well. And don't hear what I'm not saying. There is absolutely a chance that Taylor Heinicke keeps the job all season and Ryan Fitzpatrick never starts another game in his NFL career. Like, that is possible. You could be buying a dead asset. But what is also in his range of outcomes is that he steps back into this fairly solid offense where the defense is not nearly as good as we expected they would be, and he will throw for a ton of yards, score you a ton of fantasy points down the line of the NFL season. And if it goes his way that he can take back that starting role, for whatever reason, whether it's Heinicke playing worse than he is right now or an injury or anything like that, Ryan Fitzpatrick should be healthy later in the season. And right now you'd be buying him as a 38-year-old injured player who might not even get a starting role back. So this is a very, very cheap buy. That, like, you should not be throwing a lot of assets here. It's just something that you can get him thrown in a trade just for free and sit him on your bench. And he has that potential to step back in the role and be a legitimately very good fantasy quarterback for playoffs.
Taylor Heinicke isn't putting this entire team on his back as well. He has decent weapons around him.
I mean, he has so far. I just don't expect he'll continue to.
Yeah. My point more so is if Fitzpatrick comes back in and commands his offense, it's not going to be a substantial step downwards. He's still going to be putting up points. He's still going to be putting up numbers. I like it. He might be the cheapest person to get on every single name we've said so far.
I would say easily.
Yeah.
Also, we're talking these matchups. He's got Philly, Dallas, Philly. That's pretty solid matchups for a quarterback. He can definitely put up a lot of points in fantasy playoffs if he has that starting role. Now, finally, let's move over to the tight end position. And the first guy, I think, there's a very, very simple case to be made, and that is Rob Gronkowski. And this is much more in the Sterling Shepard role, in that he's only been good so far. He happens to be injured right now, and he definitely has a murky future. So you can probably get him kind of cheap, depending on who has him right now in Dynasty, because if you're not a real contender, you don't want Gronkowski on your team at this moment. You're trying to move him to a contender, and Rob Gronkowski is going to be involved in this offense. He will continue to score touchdowns at a quite high rate, not 2 touchdowns a game, but pretty damn high. And you can be confident starting Rob Gronkowski in your tight end spot week in and week out, especially.
It's so wild.
It's true, though. Like,
yeah.
Regardless of how long it's looked like, okay, he probably doesn't have the juice left. And every offseason, we seem to think, oh, this might be the end. I don't really want to invest in him. He's, you know, had so many injuries and blah, blah, blah. There's rumors that he might be back like next week already. And that's despite him having broken ribs and a punctured lung.
Yeah.
And he's going to still run into that end zone and jump up and grab the ball and spike it again. You just know exactly what he'll do. He's been getting a lot of targets every time he's on the field. And against New Orleans, Carolina Panthers, and the Jets, I still expect Rob Gronkowski to be a very solid, easily a top 10 tight end. And now, because he's injured, you might be able to get him even a tiny bit cheaper.
It just seems that the majority of times the Bucs are in the red zone, he's getting a target. Which is crazy. That should not statistically be happening all the time. But it is. Or at least it was until he picked up that just absolutely thunderous blow. Man, that would have hurt so much. The other tight end we got to talk about. Robert Bust Tonyan. He is just... I mean, he's not it so far. Tonyan, obviously, last year was one of the candidates for you saying, oh, he scored touchdowns, seemingly at will. Of course, he's going to not have as many of them. But it's not just that he hasn't caught on any touchdowns. Or he actually did catch one, I think.
He has one.
He just hasn't been that effective.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this is on Aaron Rodgers. The Packers in general have not been as effective. But if you look at all of Tonyan's stats, he didn't really do anything until that offense really kicked it into gear and got going for the second half of the season, really. Mm-hmm. He can do this again. The Packers are going to get a little bit better. And Tonyan is still a fantastic tight end on an offense that doesn't have a ton of pass-catching options. You obviously have Devonta Adams. Randall Cobb is there, catching 2 touchdowns last week, and I understand that. But Robert Tonyan is still going to be a big body threat, aerial threat, that Rodgers can throw to. So I'm totally fine if you go out and pursue this guy.
Yeah, I think it's just buying the dip. It's a very simple explanation for why you should get Tonyan, is that, you know, we projected some regression, but this is much too far. In Week 1, 3, and 4. In Week 2, he did fine. He had 50 yards and a touchdown. But in Week 1, he only had 8 yards. In Week 3, he had 6 yards. And in week four, he had 8 yards. Like, that's what he's done so far. He is absolutely busted out to this point. And I do not expect that to continue. He will be a relevant part of this offense because he is a very solid route runner and as a useful part of this offense. Also doesn't have significant competition in this offense other than Davante Adams, as you said. So I expect those touchdown numbers to come back because this offense is still going to be almost as good as it was last year. So you just are betting on him still being talented and him being attached to a very good offense. He is a very clear buy low for me right now, even though to this point he's been the tight end 29. So that's it. That is our buy low players that have potential to help you win a championship this season. So I think it's worth just throwing some offers around, seeing if you can get any of these guys for cheaper than you value them. And I expect if you really test the waters enough, you'll be able to pick up a couple and help you win a championship. But as always, before we finish this episode, we have a Dynasty Buy of the Week. It is my turn to give the hint. And if you want to see how this game works, look in the description below. Toby, here is your first hint. This player scored 13.9 PPR points in week four.
13.9 PPR points week four. For no reason, I feel like it's a wide receiver. Thus, I will go Tyler Boyd.
I just looked it up because why not? Tyler Boyd actually had 20.8.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, he actually had a good week. You know, it was in the absence of Higgins. He had a good day.
Never mind.
It was not Tyler Boyd.
Damn it.
Hint number two is that this player would normally be listed as his team's wide receiver four.
Okay, so it is a wide receiver. Normally listed as team's wide receiver four. It makes me think of a James Washington type of player who has enough skill to get some points. The only issue is James Washington just wasn't that good.
That's true.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
No, but that is a solid guess.
Okay.
This past week, with two injuries in front of him, this player stepped up in their absence and impressed me on tape with his play, specifically with a couple of big splash plays.
I'm not going to guess this first guy, Jameson Crowder, because I don't think he had splash plays, but he did look insanely involved. I just don't think you would ever say Henry Ruggs.
you're missing the big part of that hint.
There's two injuries ahead of him.
Yeah.
And Kadarius Toney.
You got it. It's Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, Kadarius made some splash plays. Like, the guy, he's a first-round draft capital talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you think of the teams with two injuries, you probably could narrow it down rather quickly. My next hint was that this early-round rookie is generously listed at 6 foot and 193 pounds. I think he's smaller than that, but that's what he's listed at. And that my final hint was, this offseason, Urban Meyer publicly stated that he wished he could have drafted this player instead of ETN with his first-round pick. Just something I think is hilarious.
That's story, just I think you wild. Might I forgot he said that, honestly.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing to say. It's like, hey, Etienne, we didn't really want you, but you're fine.
Don't. Yeah, what does that do to the morale of that just one individual in your team?
He's got enough going on.
Yeah,
right
you know
now,
what? True.
but yes, it is Kadarius Toney, and I think that buying him now is actually more of the safe play of how you should value Kadarius Toney, because there is absolutely potential that if you do not buy him before this upcoming week, Sterling Shepard might still be out. Darius Slayton, I think, will still be out. Therefore, Kadarius Toney's probably on the field. And if he's on the field, he just got 9 targets. He's probably going to make some more splash plays. And the more the current manager of Kadarius Toney sees him, the more they're not going to want to sell you him. That price is only going to go up and up and up, regardless of if he's really fantasy relevant. If you have your early round rookie pick impressing for you, you know, you're going to only increase his value in your mind. And before this past week, the news above Kadarius Toney has only been negative. It's just atrocious. And I can see myself thinking like, I don't want to buy him now because I could have bought him last week for even cheaper. That is a sunk cost fallacy. Don't do that. Recognize that his value has changed and there is good a reason for it because he looked really good on an NFL field. I expect their coaching staff to see that and go, okay, we need to start getting this guy more and more involved. Despite the fact that he just had a pretty solid week, I think this is the cheapest you're going to be able to get him. And he looked good enough to me on tape that I'm much more confident in how he will translate his game to the NFL than I was any time previously. So I just think right now is quite possibly your last chance to get him somewhat low.
I would agree with that. And he is exciting. Mm-hmm. And when you have guys like Sterling Shepard starting to emerge on this offense, Kadarius Toney could be this next man up. This could be the next man to revitalize Daniel Jones' career, question mark? But even if they have a new guy coming in, Kadarius Toney's just too talented to not be feeding some balls to.
Yeah, I wouldn't guess that he's going to have a fantastic season this season. Like, I don't really want him in redraft that much. But he's going to show enough flashes that his price will continue to go up. And down the line, this hodgepodge of wide receivers will not continue to be around him.
No.
There's a decent chance that next season, Golladay and him are the one and two. And that is definitely something I want to buy into right now. So yeah, that is our Dynasty Buy of the Week. As always, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Deep Dive Dynasty and leave us a review on whatever your favorite podcasting app is. But before we close out this episode, I do want to talk to you about just a little bit of the future of this podcast and the fact that it will be on Yottis for a couple weeks now. I'm actually moving away, and it's away from where Toby and I have lived, you know, through the pandemic when we started this podcast and have done it weekly since then. This is episode 77, so we've done it for 77 weeks in a row, I think, right? Something like that, at least 76. And so we're moving away from each other. It's just logistically, we've got stuff to figure out. I do plan on bringing it back before the end of the season. I'd like to probably do it before the trade deadline comes, but it's going to be a couple weeks, so don't expect to hear from us incredibly soon. However, I'm absolutely still going to be on Twitter and on Reddit. You know our accounts. I plug them every single week, and I'm happy to answer any question you have anytime. So definitely hit me up over there. I'm still absolutely active. I just won't necessarily have all the setup to be recording and editing every week. So that is just the holdup right now. So just wanted to let you guys know what's going on there. I'll definitely be tweeting it as well. So, you know, we'll keep you updated as stuff goes on and whenever the next episode will be. But, you know, this has been a great fun thing we've done for about 77 weeks in a row. So yeah, I'm definitely pleased with what we've done to this point. But that's it from us this week. Thank you once again for being here, Toby.
Thank you.
And thank you all so much for listening. Have a good one.
Peace.